Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like a dapper dawn, giving a microphone, dress like a million bucks, bucks, things in its cuffs. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody out there listening to me.
Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show.
We got a good one for you today. I was thinking about on the way in. You know, yesterday was a really, really trying day for me. It was a lot of work yesterday, and I was, I gotten so tired at one point, man. But I had no one to explain it to, you know, man. The fellas that travel with me, they just go, you know, they know where I gotta be, they get me in place, you know, blah blah blah. But you know, right about when I'm about to complain about it out loud, I also find all of the incredible reasons that I have to be grateful. And it kind of slows down the complaining a little bit. Now, I'm not saying there are days, man, where I don't verbalize my fatigue, or I don't verbalize my, man, I wish I didn't have to work so hard, or man, yeah, man. When I get through with that, I have so many reasons to be grateful that it does slow it down, you know. And sometimes, the majority of the time, it just flat out stops it, because I end up laughing at myself because, you know, it's, so many things are happening to me beyond my belief, beyond what I ask God for. So there's just some extreme blessings going on in my life. But man, have I paid. And that's the part I want to talk to you about today. You know, see, a lot of people look at other people and they see what they think is the finished product. They don't realize that all of us, no matter who we are still a work in progress, that I have many flaws, that I have many problems, and I have many situations that come up, you know, just like anybody else. You know, I'm no different from that. You know, life happens for me just like it happens for you. It may happen in different ways, but just like, you know, if it's something comes up at an inconvenient time for you, it pops up for me. You know, if something happens for me that seems unfair, I know that it's happening to somebody else unfairly. But, you know, I find myself being grateful the majority of the time. I can't say all the time because I'm a human being, and sometimes I find myself complaining about it all, you know. But I try for the most part to stay grateful, to stay focused, and it allows me to keep the wheels churning. But now I wanna share something with you about your road to success. You know, you've heard me say this probably 100 times now. The road to success is always under construction. It really is. So here's what I want you to expect. On your way to changing, on your way to becoming successful, on your way to achieving your goals, on your way to getting better, I want you to expect many difficulties. Once again, the road to success is always under construction. I want you to expect many difficulties. But here is the deal between successful people and non-successful people. It's how they deal with the difficulties. That's the only difference. It's how you deal with the difficulties, how you handle the setbacks, how well you get up after you've been knocked down. That's happening to all of us. None of us are exempt from that. You're going to fall. You're going to be pushed. You're going to be run over. You're going to be tackled. You are going to be lied about. You are going to have setbacks. That's a part of the journey. But how do you handle them? How well do you handle everything? See, I want you to understand something. When you set out to be successful, here's difficult. Petey Pablo, who I have probably people wondering, what is he about to quote Petey Pablo? He had a rap album out called Diary of a Sinner. And it was really, man, my favorite rap album of all time. Because he said some things about his life that I could so relate to. I can't think of the name of the song right now, but there is a lyric, a stanza in one of his songs that says, I had a half a tank of gas, two cigarettes, scraping up change in an ashtray. And a voice said, it's only a test of my faith. It said, I had a half a tank of gas, two cigarettes, scraping up change in an ashtray. But a voice said, it was only a test of my faith. Here's the deal. Your faith, which is the belief in things that you cannot see. When you say, I'm going to make it, I'm going to be successful at it, I'm going to finish college, I'm going to achieve my goal, I'm going to be a better husband, I'm going to be a better father, I'm going to be a better wife, I'm going to be a better mother, I'm going to be a better student, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to start doing more for other people, I'm going to help the less fortunate. Whatever you say, when you send that prayer up, when you declare that faith, the devil hears your prayer too. Now, the sad thing about the devil is he's busy 24/7. And he has people that works for him 24/7. It's some imps out there that ain't up to no good. You all know them. You've all run across them. They always putting shade on somebody. They always barking at somebody. They always knocking somebody down. These people, they just busy for Satan. What you got to be careful of is that occasionally you don't become one of those people. See, so when these people, when the devil hears this prayer that you sent up or what you're going to be successful at, then your faith is going to be tested. He got people, man, to come in there and try to knock you off that course so you can get on back to this old woe is me. I ain't going to ever be nothing. Man, it seemed like every time I try to get back up, I get knocked right back down. Once he gets you saying that enough times, then he can start implementing some other programs. Come on, man, let's sell this dope. We can't get no job. Now, here you go. You're off track. You gone, you other way. Now he got you tied up now to the point where he can get you locked up or he can get you killed and lose your soul. So now he at work, busy, he all day. What you got to be mindful of is that your faith will be tested, that it's going to be difficult to get to where you are. And you got to stay in prayer all the time, talking to your creator about strengthening you for the journey. You have to be strengthened for the journey. That's all you asking for, because the journey is the journey. You can stop asking God to remove all these problems in these situations, because it ain't going to happen. These are the tests of our faith. This determines how bad you want it. What I'm saying to you this morning is stay focused, stay prayerful, stay on point, get ready for them. Understand that it's just a test of your faith, that your faith will be tested, but you got to stay the course, man. You got to stay the course. It's all right. You will be fine in due time, but you got to give some of this stuff a chance to play itself out. Because nothing lasts forever. Ain't no pain forever. All right? I'm just trying to help you with that. Because, boy, I'm dealing with it all the time. Stay prayerful. God got help for you. All right? Let's go.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to all of you. This show today is being dedicated to anybody who has captured or has possession of a tiger. Yeah. To all of you who have captured, wrestled, or own a tiger, congratulations.
This one's for you.
This one's for you.
This show is dedicated to y'all.
Yeah, we always dedicate our show to the forgotten ones.
So thoughtful.
You know what I'm saying? Just open this up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up, Shirley?
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
What is that?
That's my tiger sound.
One more time.
Like a dog.
No, this is a dog. Roof.
He loves making animal sounds.
They're the same thing. One of them is just sick. Well, Junior.
Morning, Unc. Morning, everybody. What's happening?
Fool number two.
What is going on, everybody? Watch out there now.
Oh.
Watch out there now.
Yeah.
Watch out there now.
Well,
watch
you
out
know.
There now.
Yeah, okay.
Watch out there now.
Okay. We're one watching.
Yeah, me and one more.
Never
we're watch out there now.
Yeah, they ain't never let you do that over there.
He can that get many times.
He can't get that, that many.
Not that many. I never got yeah, that no. many. I'm beside
I know
myself.
He did. Yeah. Because that's a lot.
What? Hey, that's enough. That's yeah. enough. Yeah.
It is, but I'm one more.
What?
Yeah, see, because I'm big. Yeah, between me and him, I'm good in it. last one.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
So are you happy here, Jake?
I'm so happy here.
Okay.
I'm so happy. But, you know, it's a different plantation, which means your ass still got to pick cotton.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to yeah. do your share over
yeah,
here?
Yeah, you're going to do your share over here. Don't think that you've been sold, you're going to be laid up under a tree and not do a damn yeah. thing. Hey. Who knows?
Ain't no such thing
and
as free.
Also, right. I want to dedicate the show in honor of Tommy.
Oh.
Yeah, I want in honor of Tommy.
Your nephew, why?
Yeah. For little people. And I'm not talking about
Tigers and Tommy.
Oh
T.T.
T.T. Tiny Tommy. Tiny what? Tommy and Tigers. Triple T's. Didn't he have a company called TNT?
He does.
Tigers
yeah.
and Tommy.
Oh, man. This show is crazy.
Yeah,
are you
man.
Sure, Jay?
Oh, I'm so happy. Okay.
He'll be in a little bit later today. But you know one thing about this show? It
What's
goes
that?
On, man, because we got stars on this show, baby. Yeah. We got real stars on
I've
this
show.
I've
said it once, and I'm going to say it again. What? Championship team.
That's what this is.
No one says it yeah. quite like you, Jay.
Championship team.
Championship team. Boy.
Championship.
No, no, Shirley, you can't say it like that. Championship team.
Man.
Anyway.
Don't be ignorant today. Mm-hmm.
I think so. It's Friday. It always is.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Woo! All right. Coming up, Tyler Perry is Drake. Have you guys heard about this story?
No.
No.
All right. We'll talk about it in something funny when we come back at 34 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. Now, this is something funny, Steve. Your buddy, family to the show, we love him, Tyler Perry.
TP.
Is a dead ringer for Drake.
For who?
Drake. The rapper, Drake.
P.
People mistaken Tyler Perry for Drake.
Okay, listen, check this out. At least when, you know, he's taking pictures with foreign fans that don't have a clue. Apparently, while here in L.A., two ladies, one of whom was French, we just left Paris, remember, asked Tyler for a picture. They kind of sort of knew he was famous, but they didn't really kind of grasp who he was, not really. So Tyler played along and just told the ladies he was Drake, and they believed him.
Wow.
They believed him.
Wow. Yeah.
Tyler crazy. He isn't it?
Yeah. Tyler is crazy. They,
yeah. So, I mean, I know you have a bunch of funny fan stories, but that's Tyler's funny fan story that the fans thought.
No, hold up, hold up. I'm in Memphis one day. I'm performing at this club.
Yeah.
I get on the elevator with Boomerang and Juan, when my boy Juan was
there. Remember Juan. Juan's a good guy.
6'4", 6'6", everybody 350 but me. We're on the elevator. White guy gets on the elevator, pushes the button. I'm standing behind Juan and Boom, so he don't see me.
Yeah.
He turns around to them and he goes, "Boy, elevator sure is crowded."
That's not what you say.
And so they didn't say nothing. He said, and we riding down, he said, "Guys are awful quiet." So Juan said, "That's because we ain't talking to you." But Juan said, "That's because we not talking to you." Oh, okay. Wow. So he turns back around. The door opens, and a group of people see us, but it just looks full. It's plenty room.
Yeah.
Behind Juan and Boom.
You got Juan and Boom. It's, yeah.
But it just looked full.
Right.
So the door shut, and he goes, and the white guy went, "Boy, sure could have used a little company."
So, he got some more flows to go.
I'm behind them hollering laughing.
You're laughing.
I'm behind Big Boom and Juan hollering laughing. So we get down to the bottom, and the door opens, and they split, and I come between them. He goes, "Oh, my God. How in the world were you back there?"
He just says, "Let it go."
No, it just when he goes, "Oh my God, Mr. Pryor, could I please have your autograph?" And I went, "Damn, Richard Pryor's dead."
Yeah,
Richard Pryor had just passed. Yeah. He's gone.
Wow.
And he said, "Mr. Pryor, please." So I said, "Hey man, look, I'm not Richard Pryor. Listen. I'm not going to tell anybody."
That's funny.
Man. Just sign the paper for me. I said, "Man, listen, I'm not Richard Pryor."
That is funny, Steve.
"You're not? Really? Come on. Just sign it for me." I said, "All right, man, get here." And I wrote Richard Pryor on the paper. He went, "Man, thank you so much. God almighty."
But that happens a lot, though.
God almighty.
Because once they lock in their mind who you are,
that's
who you are.
You Richard Pryor. You right, Richard. Just, I signed it.
So Richard Pryor. Explains Tyler Perry and Drake. And
I cannot tell you how many times I've been mistaken for Sheryl Underwood. It is unbelievable. I've taken pictures
many,
and
Jake?
Everything. I mean, yeah, Sheryl Underwood, sign autograph. No problem.
Hey, man.
You know Sheryl is our girl.
What is wrong with you?
You hired him. What is wrong with you?
Oh, my God. Sheryl Underwood.
Oh, my God. It's Sheryl Underwood.
Ain't shaved or nothing.
Tommy got that same thing, man. I'll tell you, Tommy, boy, I was with Tommy one time, and dude went up, "Little man." Little man.
Didn't mistake him for nothing.
No, little man.
And they say it again over and over.
I like that movie, boy.
Little man.
What's just wrong
on
this
show?
Oh, my God.
Little man.
But they hit you with a tag, that's it.
Man, they do. They hit you with a hit. You know who I get mistaken for, though? You know who I get mistaken for?
Who?
I was in Vegas. We was at the Hoodies. The group of white women ran up to me and said, "Oh, my God, it's Wayne Brady."
Oh, I can see that.
I'm standing there like,
"Man,
I'm not Wayne Brady." But you know what wasn't helping? Why was I waiting for my luggage under Wayne Brady picture? They was over there snapping their behinds off.
Yeah.
I swear, I said, "I'm not Wayne." But then one was fine. I just went to singing best I could. Yes, I am.
You'll never find
I will be Wayne.
Love if you are who they think you are, that's who you are.
That's
who
you got to be.
That's who you got to be.
The one who cares about you.
Listen to Lou Rawls over
like
there.
Like I do. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I'm not blaming on you, baby.
Oh my God, but that is Richard Pryor. Oh my yeah. God, what the hell?
Hey, Vader. Just sign it, guy. Come
on. So you had hair this time, though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So you know what? Another funny story, Steve. This doesn't have to do with mistaken identity, but the story with you on the elevator and the little girl. Remember that?
At Disney.
Yes.
Say, man. We're on the elevator. Oh,
you haven't
at
heard
Disney,
this
here. At Animal Kingdom. And, you know, it's just families. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming out of the suite. No, I'm getting ready to go to the suite. And we get downstairs. And down at the bottom is where the pool is. And I just got through eating at Jinko's. So pool is down there. Uh-huh. So I get on the elevator. The door's shut. And this guy runs and holds the door so his family could get on. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, cool. So I'm standing there. So a guy gets on, couple, and they got a little girl. This little girl got on a
this is crazy.
A little
like a sundress?
Sheer like sundress.
Oh, like a cover up, a beach cover, like a little terry cloth cover up.
Okay. But the little girl just stood in front of me and put her hand all the way in her butt and was just digging. And I'm talking about, man, where
up in there.
She was just showing her whole little backside. Her whole bottom is out. And I'm sitting there looking at her daddy like, hey, man,
say
sit your girl.
Say something. Yeah. Say something.
And she was just digging, just opening it and just scratching it. And I was sitting there, man, I was mortified. Because I'm why is your little girl, and why won't you stop her?
Scared. All right, coming up next, the nephews run that prank back. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, let's go. Time for nephews run that prank back.
We're running the prank back. This one right here is Musty's son. Your son is Musty. Damn.
That's terrible.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach Vanessa, please.
This is she.
Hi, Vanessa. My name is Robert. I'm the one of the owners. You know my wife, Michelle. We own the daycare.
Yes. How can I help you?
Okay. We've been, I think we've had your son, Malik, probably close to a year now. Am I right?
Yes, you have. Is everything okay?
No, everything is fine. Everything is fine. I don't think we have a problem that we can't clear up. I have a question for you. Have you been noticing anything different about Malik, like concerning hygiene at all?
Hygiene? No, not that I can recall. What are you talking about?
Okay, how old is Malik?
He's 2.
Okay, well, we seem to have come across a little glitch here that we're going to try to take care of here at the daycare. Actually, my wife didn't. I told her I would make the phone call and leave her out of it. I know you see her every day once
you
drop.
Yeah, but what glitch are you talking about? What is this glitch?
I'm sorry?
Glitch. What is this glitch that you want to talk about? I'm confused.
Okay, well, actually, what we're having is it seems like every day here lately for the last 2 months, Malik has been, you know, very musty. You know, he hasn't been really sweaty, but just real musty.
Okay, you clearly have the wrong child because I give my son a bath every night, and most mornings before he leaves the school, I give him another bath again. So, yeah, I'm pretty positive you have the wrong child.
No, ma'am. Your son is Malik, right? And he's 2 years old. You guys have been here with us right close to a year now, correct?
Yes, and?
Okay, and he's a cute little kid with the curly hair. I know exactly which one he is. So what I'm saying to you is that we are having problems. He's just reeking, you know. He's real musty.
Okay, so, you know what? My son does not reek. I don't know what child you're talking about, but you're not talking about my child. I just told you I make sure that he gets a bath every night. So that's not my child. My child is very clean.
Okay, well hang on, Vanessa. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this is why my wife didn't want to call, okay? And I'm glad I'm actually the one that made the call. What we need to do, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to try a little experiment for the next month or so.
Experiment?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean experiment? What kind of experiment?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some male deodorant on him.
What?
Just for the next month, and we'll see how it plays out.
No. You're not going to put anything on my child. That's not going to happen.
Okay, well, ma'am, I'm trying to fix the problem here. I just wanted to call.
He doesn't have a problem. I already told you that my son is clean. You're not going to put any on my girlfriend on him, and if you do, it's going to be a problem. Do you understand me?
Okay, ma'am, I'm not trying to have an argument with you. What I want you to know is...
Well, I'm not trying to have an argument either, but you're talking about putting deodorant on my child. You can't do that. I'm not going to have that happen then. Please don't make me have to come to that school for you and your wife.
Okay, ma'am, listen, we're going to have to do something about your child. Your child is musty, okay? And you're sitting here getting an attitude with me, and I'm trying to let you know your child
because
is
you're
musty.
Talking nonsense. Maybe you're the one that's musty. Maybe you and your wife are musty. My child is not musty. I keep telling you that I bathe him every night. Which part of that don't you understand?
I understand everything that you're saying. Maybe it's the soap. Maybe something is not taking effect. I'm not sure, okay?
But maybe he doesn't smell it right, because I don't know what child you're smelling, but you're not smelling my child.
On him.
You are not using male deodorant on my child. Do I need to come down there for you with the cops and sue your entire establishment? You don't want that to happen. Stay away from my child. Are you crazy? You know, matter of fact, where's my son?
Ma'am, your son is fine. Your son is in there with the rest of the kids. They're playing. Today is the first day I sprayed a little bit of male deodorant on
you
his arm.
You did what? Let's
see how that worked
okay,
out.
Okay, so you clear... Look, Cheryl, can you cover for me for a couple of minutes? I'm bringing my there right now. I'll be there within the hour because you must be crazy. What do you mean you sprayed my son?
Ma'am, I just sprayed a little bit of deodorant on him just to see if we can... If
I
we
didn't
can
give you permission to do that, and I keep telling you that there's nothing wrong with my child, and you took it upon yourself to go and spray my child, and you weren't supposed to do that. Are you crazy? I'm bringing my... right now.
Okay, well, what are you coming here for? The boy is... your son Malik is fine. Why are you coming here?
No, he's clearly not fine. If you're going around spraying why don't you spray your because clearly your smelling and reeking and funky as hell. I ain't giving you no to spray my child.
Ma'am,
I'm going to come down there and I promise you, I'm going to shoot all y'all because you're crazy.
Okay, let me say this, ma'am. Your son is musty. He's been reeking for the
my
last
son
few
is
months.
Not musty. How many times have I told you he's not musty?
Okay?
You know what? I ain't even trying to hear you because you're clearly crazy. How you go around spraying people's kids? And I was my child. Did you smell the other kids? You know what? Ma'am. I'm about to get in my car and come down there for your ass because you must be crazy.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Why did you hang up on me? I'm trying to fix the problem, ma'am.
Wait, what the f*** do you want? I told you that I'm coming down there. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
But I needed to let you know one more thing that's going on here.
What could you possibly need to let me know? Because I'm on my way to right now.
Where are you now? Are you in your car? Where are you?
I am heading to my car, about to get in my car to come down there for because you must be crazy spraying my child.
Before you get to your car, I need to tell you one more thing about your son, okay?
Please, what you possibly have to tell me?
I want to tell you that
what?
This is, listen to me, this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your girlfriend Cheryl got me to prank phone call you.
What the f***? I'm standing here in the parking lot about to come down there for and that knew exactly what I was about. I'm going to get her. I'll forget it, because I'm thinking, I know my child is musty. I know my child is clean, and he don't smell. Ooh, I'm going to get her.
I just talked to her. She said she's right here in her cubicle. You got to call her right now. I said, okay, just chill out. I'm going to call her.
I'm
going
to get her. You don't know.
Hey, is Malik nice and clean?
Malik is always nice and clean and smelling right, so I don't know what the hell you were talking about. I was like, not my child. He got the wrong child. You are about to get it. You don't even know.
Oh, man. All right, Vanessa, you got to tell me one more thing, baby. What's the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
The one and only Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, yeah, that was pretty good,
yeah,
Tommy.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, don't forget you can catch Tommy down in Tampa at the Sundome.
He is.
Yeah, he'll be down there with Maze, Kelly Price, and Tank.
That's wow. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Tommy down at the Sundome. Now, listen, uh-huh. Tommy will be introducing Kelly Price and Tank.
Yeah, what about Frankie Beverly?
Frankie Beverly and Maze. Mm-hmm.
No, you won't be doing that.
What? Your belly just come out.
Yeah, but, Frank just come out.
Yeah,
Frank
just come
do you
out.
Understand that he realizes he thinks that he's going to introduce?
No, no one.
Nobody give a
Frank
damn
belly.
What he thinks.
No,
but that's
Frankie
how
belly
he's
just come out.
Been presenting it to us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, he can quit thinking.
Frankie Belly want that stage cleared when he
yeah.
comes
yeah.
out. Man.
Yeah,
actually, Tommy is presenting it like Maze is. You know,
nah.
Is the opening act and Tommy is the headline.
Yeah, they ain't selling air tickets.
Shirley, about 5 years ago, about 7 years ago, I opened up for Frankie Beverly Mays on New Year's Eve in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
And I did introduce Frankie Beverly Mays. Matter of fact, I just said, you know what time it is, and just jumped off the front of the stage. Hey, so I could get ready.
You jumped off. I like it.
Yeah, you don't get to introduce Frankie Beverly Mays.
No, they want your ass off that
off
stage.
Off the stage.
I don't think the nephew is clear on
he'll
that.
He'll know when he get there.
Only one person has ever introduced Mays.
And who was that?
Are you looking at it?
Steve Harvey?
That's his music festival. He said, wow. Man, you the only one Frank ever let bring him out.
Wow.
The only one. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, we'll be back at the top of the hour. Miss Ann will be here with our Friday headlines when we come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, Miss Ann is coming in with our Friday headlines. Before we get to that, you don't want to miss J. Anthony Brown's Murder the Hit today.
No, you don't.
You don't want to miss it today.
I wouldn't miss it. It is unbelievable.
Yeah. But check this out. Before we get to J. Anthony Brown's Murder the Hit, if you must say.
I must say myself.
Okay. Well, TMZ has learned that Suge Knight made a death threat against Straight Outta Compton director F. Gary Gray. We all know him. The L.A. County Grand Jury, which indicted Suge on felony criminal threats, Suge allegedly made the threat during the filming of the movie, but months before, he killed a man involved in the production by driving over him in a Compton parking lot. We remember this. We saw this on TV. TMZ has obtained a copy of the grand jury indictment, which reads in part, on or about August 8th, 2014, Suge Knight threatened to commit a crime which would result in death and great bodily injury to Felix, that's what the F stands for, Felix Gary Gray. Suge was extremely unhappy with his portrayal in the movie, and he sent the threat by text. Sources connected with Suge claim the murder charge against him is falling apart, and they believe law enforcement is simply out to get him.
Out to get him.
This is a strange story, yeah.
They got him.
Yeah, he's in, right? He's still in there, right?
Yeah, you know, there ain't no more out to get.
No, yeah, they got him for driving over that guy. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I saw the video, man. It was absolutely horrible.
Yeah. I saw it, too.
It was absolutely horrible.
I have forgotten the part about Straight Outta Compton, the movie, and all of this, though.
Let me just tell you this
during
right
the time
here.
It happened. What?
Should I form it as a question?
If you're asking yourself, then you're going to get in trouble.
Question. Go with a question.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When black people run over people with cars on video, do they traditionally get away with that?
Is that a question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the table?
You're just throwing it out there.
Yeah. I'm just asking.
I'm gonna have to go with no, Steve.
So, do you think
not
this
ever.
Is another question right here? Do you think there's a likelihood?
Yeah.
Bring
that
it.
If they was out to get you, that this tape would be helpful in acquiring him.
Can I just say this? Good question, Steve.
Yeah.
Brilliant, don't you think so,
very,
Jay?
Very good question.
You think so, Junior? But the answer again is no.
No, I mean,
don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
That this
put in a question.
Seeing this tape of him doing this, is a good way for them to get him.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. I misunderstood the question, sir. It was so brilliant.
Yeah.
Do you also think it's a likelihood that his ass is never going to get out of jail?
I think so.
In our lifetime?
In our lifetime. We won't see it.
I tell you what, though.
He took it there, didn't he?
Steven.
Do you remember the incident when Suge Knight got knocked out by the ball?
Yeah.
Smooth.
Got smooth like that. Yeah. So do you think this threat is valid, knowing that information?
There was a barber.
I think you really just got to deal with the problem at hand right now.
Knowing that there's a small, tiny barber that knocked
you out. Do you really feel threatened? I just want to know.
And where he is, they know that.
Oh, yes, they do. You got that right.
Yeah, you got that right.
Wow.
I don't see it happening in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe she's here.
Yeah, she is.
The one and only Miss Ann Tripp.
Ah, thanks, Steve. Thanks, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. Okay, special counsel Robert Mueller is reportedly impaneling a brand new grand jury to look into Russian meddling in the 2016 election and possible ties to the Trump campaign. Of course, you know, he's been investigating that. However, the president's lawyers say they have no reason to believe that Donald Trump himself is under investigation and that the White House does favor anything that, quote, accelerates the conclusion of Mueller's work fairly. And the White House is committed to fully cooperating with Mr. Mueller. That's the quote that the White House has sent out. President Trump, meanwhile, by the way, spoke last night at a campaign-style rally in West Virginia, and he called the current Russia campaign probe just the Democrats being sore losers.
The reason why Democrats only talk about the totally made-up Russia story is because they have no message, no agenda, and no vision.
According to recent polls, Trump is still strongly supported in West Virginia due to his stated support of the coal industry. And Trump overwhelmingly won West Virginia in the election, garnering 68% of the vote there. By the way, now West Virginia's governor, Jim Justice, has switched parties. Again, Justice, a former Republican who became a conservative Democrat, is now switching back to the GOP. Okay, Attorney General Jeff Sessions moving to punish so-called sanctuary cities, threatening to withhold federal crime-fighting resources to those municipalities unless they step up their efforts, he says, to detain people living in this country illegally. The Justice Department sent letters to four cities so far, Baltimore, Albuquerque, Stockton, and San Bernardino, letting their officials know that they'll be ineligible for the government's crime program unless they give immigration officers access to their jails and provide advance notice about anybody they intend prosecuting for something who happens to be wanted on immigration violations. Okay, LL Cool J has been named the Kennedy Center's first hip-hop honoree. That's right. The rapper and actor became hip-hop's first sex symbol and first solo star. That's about 30 years ago when LL Cool J became, you know, really sexy and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, now LL, whose government name is James Todd Smith, is to be inducted into the prestigious arts group with the class of 2017, which includes singers Gloria Estefan. Lionel Richie is one of the people that's going to be inducted with him. Choreographer and dancer, the lovely Carmen de Lavallade, and also TV show producer Norman Lear, who did so many things like All in the Family back in the day at the Kennedy Center as well. This year's award ceremony, by the way, is to be held on Sunday, December 3rd, at the Kennedy Center Opera House, which is in Washington, D.C. Finally, today is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, National Hooray for Kids Day, and National Beer Day. Everybody sing!
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer! Beer!
Holly, I adore it. Beer! Come on, damn it, pour it. Do it for me. Brew it for me. Feed it to me. Speed it to me. Beer! The most wonderful drink in the world. Hooray!
Eugene the Butterfly, 20 minutes after the hour from the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
The butterfly Eugene has the day off today.
Aww.
Yeah.
He's off today.
Yeah, he's off today, so no more counseling sessions.
No, but seriously?
We'll bring the therapist back next
week
or something.
Man, let's
probably
do something real good.
Man.
Well, Steve, Junior J, you guys hear about this. Floyd Mayweather has agreed to lighter gloves. He has agreed to lighter gloves, but Nevada probably won't. Okay, Floyd Mayweather has said it. If the info doesn't come directly from him, then it isn't true. This one comes directly from his Instagram account. Floyd Mayweather reached out to Conor McGregor and said that he'll fight with 8-ounce gloves like they do in the MMA. Unfortunately, it's all talk because the officials in Nevada...
Wait a minute. The gloves in the MMA are 8-ounce?
That's what it says here.
Floyd normally fights with 12-ounce gloves.
He said he'll go down to 8 for these.
Yeah, he'll go down
but
to 8.
But I didn't know mixed martial arts was 8-ounce gloves. I thought they were lighter than that.
I think they lighter than that.
I thought they were lighter than that.
Officials in Nevada are highly unlikely to approve anything less than 10-ounce gloves. The Mayweather versus McGregor fight is August 26th. We all know that. Yeah. Floyd is expected to make over $300 million for the fight.
I love martial arts.
Now, what is the weight of the gloves?
I will pretty much fight anybody for $300 million.
Absolutely. I'll fight you right now in the studio, but I'll be $300 million.
When I come to,
as long as you don't kill me. Yeah, as long as you don't kill me, we're good.
I'll cut the deal. Matter of fact, I'll swing and miss.
Let's do it.
I just go ahead.
So you get paid.
I'll just go ahead and lose the fight for $300 million.
Right.
My pre-fight going to make you think I'm going to win.
I'll do better than that. I'll knock my own damn self out in the corner for $300 million.
No, I'm talking about a cold cock.
Really?
Steve, you would knock me out.
with $300 million.
$300 million. Yeah. You're gonna be laid out.
I would take that knockout for $300 million.
I know that when you came to how much you'd appreciate. I know your husband.
So you're
husband.
Doing it for me.
I know your husband would want to deal with
yes,
me.
Yes, he would.
And I'd deal with him more willingly.
$300 million.
If I got $300 million.
Yeah.
The deal y'all
now,
gonna cut.
I'm gonna just tell him. I'm gonna say, look, Ernesto, look, man, this is how this gonna work.
Yeah. The deal y'all finna cut.
I'm gonna go on and let you whoop my ass. But not too much. I gotta be on Family
Feud. Right.
I got some things to do.
I'm just, what is the weight of the gloves? Why is that an issue even?
I thought it was 12 out there.
The lighter gloves mean it's you
faster.
Hit, yeah, hit more bare hands.
More bare hands. Hand, and then you can punch faster. Yeah.
I thought MMA was lighter than
that. They got to be lighter than that.
Because it's almost like a bag glove, yeah. I thought. What this is going to be is a raw whooping.
What?
A raw whooping.
That's what it's going to be.
If Floyd boxed this boy, for real.
It's going to be what?
A raw whooping.
All right, here we go. Coming up coming up after the break, J. Anthony Brown is here. To murder another hit. You don't want to miss it. We'll be back at 34 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go. We back. Listen up. This fool is here. It's time to murder the hits. This one right here, I can't even stop him on.
No, you can't.
The because Bobby Valentino thing.
The rule has been set. If you're a singer.
Yeah, but Jay.
And no, you. The no, rule Jay, is set.
Jay, this is even worse than that.
Because
I saw the video.
Yes. Man.
I mean, you running down the hallway with your pants.
Off.
You trying to block the camera.
There's a couple things wrong with this video.
If you just pay me.
Yeah.
If you just Bobby, pay me.
Bobby, you left your key.
Man, yeah. You left
See,
your
the
shoes.
First thing of leaving where you ain't supposed to be is have your keys and shoes.
Yeah.
That's the first thing.
We'll talk about it. Yeah, we'll let people know what you're talking about.
Anyway,
after you
Bobby Valentino got jammed up.
Yeah.
And that's what the song is about, Bobby Valentino. And I've said it once and I'll say it again. If you're a singer and you do something stupid, there's going to be a hit about you.
Hey, let me ask you a question, man. What is this song? What is it to? What song?
He had a hit song, Slow Down.
Slow Down, yeah.
Slow Down. That's probably his biggest hit.
Damn.
It was.
His biggest, yeah, his biggest
hit. Well, this is the last one now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're going to like this one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't think I forgot you, R. Kelly, because I ain't.
That's why he'll
don't think I
done
let you go, because I ain't. I just ain't got around to it.
This boy here sounds like somebody's mom.
Yeah.
Don't think I forgot what you did.
Come on, Jay.
Here we go. Hit it on the Steve Harvey Morning.
You know, there's a lot of girls out there in L.A. on Melrose.
Or not. When we were talking down on Melrose, I should have noticed you didn't sound like a girl. And your hand size with that firm grip. The money that is due, I'll PayPal to you.
Hey now, please don't try to expose me. Put that camera down. There's a lot of my peeps that knows me. Why now? You picked the fine time to show me.
Bobby, so I can tell you the price, Bobby V. Don't run, Bobby Valentino. Come here.
Hey now, please don't try to expose me. Put that camera down. There's a lot of my peeps that knows me.
Bobby Valentino,
why now? You picked a fine time to show me. I'm gonna turn around. Gonna walk down the hallway slowly.
Don't run, Bobby Valentino. Come here.
Hey now, please don't try to expose me. Down. There's a lot of my peeps that knows me.
You got your shoes.
Why now? You picked a fine time to show me.
Hey, fool, did you say, want your shoes?
Uh-huh.
That was on the video.
Want your shoes.
Oh, he said that?
Production quality. Yeah.
The girl said that,
The production quality on this hit.
Always. They're always.
You murdered
they're
this
always
one.
Gonna be top notch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
This is really all I have to say.
You know what, man? And you know what's man? He came out and said, you know, it's not true.
Yeah.
But this video.
Yeah, it's a viral video allegedly showing Bobby Valentino.
This is how you know it's viral. I saw.
Yeah.
When you
exactly,
see it.
Because when you see it,
tell you something,
you don't watch anything.
I don't
you have
watch
time.
Nothing. Yeah. I don't have time.
You know much
I'm on the wall trying to get somewhere, man.
But you saw this.
I saw this video.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah.
The only
person that ain't, well, my wife looks more than me, but when I show her this, she ain't gonna believe this.
It's him.
Do you know Bobby V?
I know him.
I do too.
Dog, I had him on the show before.
Yeah. Even when we were in LA.
Cool little dude.
Yeah.
I saw him
in LA.
Yeah. Cute as pie.
I can't watch it no more. I can't listen to you.
What you need to do is PayPal that person and get him that money.
Yeah,
well, clear that up.
Bobby
that
says, he and his team had no idea that the woman on the video was transgender.
That ain't what we talking about. PayPal that saying. Person yeah. their money.
He said, that ain't what we talking about. Yeah. We talking about paying. Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back.
I don't really know how you tell. That ain't none of my business.
Yeah,
but. You was in there. At one point in time, you was in there.
All right, prank phone call coming up next with the nephew. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after the hour, Strawberry Letter, get ready for it today. But up next, it's the nephew's prank phone call,
well,
Uncle.
This ignorant fooled and came out with another one.
Uh-huh.
That his specialty is ignorance.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
You must take your hat off. He is the king of pranks.
Yes, he is.
This one is called Muscle Marvin. Hmm. Muscle Marvin.
Hello, this is Marvin.
I'm trying to reach Muscle Marvin.
Yeah, this is me. What's cracking?
Hey, you the guy that do the training up there at the gym?
Yeah, what's up? Trying to get in one of my classes or something?
Okay, what kind of classes you got?
Well, let me see. I got aerobics, martial arts, and I got bodybuilding classes. So it's really by whatever you want to do.
Okay. You teach martial arts too?
Yeah, I'm a third degree black belt, man. I've been doing martial arts before I started the bodybuilding or whatever.
Okay. No, I ain't trying. Okay, listen. My wife actually been coming to that gym for at least 2 or 3 years now.
Okay.
Now the problem that I'm having, man, is that I wanted to call and just be a man and call and specifically talk to you. But my wife is telling me that when she come to the gym, that Muscle Marvin is always asking her about personal training, trying to get her to pay for personal training and be in one of your boot camp classes.
Whoa, hold up, homie. Hey, man, check this out, man. I don't ask people to train them. People ask me to train them. I got 3 classes in each thing that I do, bruh. I got too many folks already, man. I spend most of my time trying to get a break, man. What are you talking about? I'm asking somebody to train.
My wife is telling me, man, when she come up to the gym, it's hard for her to work out because Muscle Marvin is, you know, always hounding her, you know, flexing, you taking your shirt off. People ain't supposed to be taking their shirt off in the gym. You got your chest, your just jumping from side to side. You know, I don't know what all this about, you know what I'm saying? But I'm calling you as a man to tell you this right here, this right here finna stop, man.
Oh, hold on, man. Watch the way you talking to me, bro. I done already told you, man. I don't be asking nobody to train. And as a matter of fact, man, who is your wife? Understand it's a gym and women come through here every day, bruh. Bruh, I don't know who is your wife specifically.
My wife is Corin. Corin, all right, and I told you earlier, I'm Jason. We the okay? And the problem is that you running up on my wife, man.
Hey.
Now, I don't know if you ain't, I don't know what the deal is, you attracted to her or what, but you keep running up on her about taking, taking personal training, getting personal training from you. She don't need all that, but she can't even come up there and work out by herself.
Because
you flexing all the damn time, man.
Now, you tripping, man. I done told your I don't know who your wife is, but you're starting to run me hot. Listen, man, I don't know who your wife is. I don't know no Corin. I don't even know
it's
you,
Corin.
Man.
Corin. Corin, man. Corin.
You telling me you calling me like a man? If you want to be a man, bring your up here to where I'm at, man. All you got to do is come up here, and you can talk to me in my face since you a man, because only cowards talk over the phone.
Okay,
all
well, let me explain something to you, man. I'm not the coward. I'm finna tell you this here, Mr. Muscle Marvin.
You know where I'm at since your wife's train up here. I ain't asked your wife to do nothing, man. You done lost your mind. Hey, check this out, bruh. Bruh, watch the way you handle me.
No, no, you watch the way you handling me and the way you running up on my wife. I tell you what, here go your warning, Muscle Marvin. Let my wife come on one more time telling me you got your jumping all in the mirror, got your shirt off, instead of running up on you. I'm coming up there to this gym, and I'm whooping your ass. I don't give a damn how many muscles you got.
You coming to where? Check this out, man. I'm at right now. Bring your tired up here and your wife, and anything you got to do with me, we can do right now. What you got to wait till the next time for, when you can bring your raggedy up here, your $2.05 up here right now, and we can take care of this issue right now, bruh, because I don't run from nothing. I ain't scared of nothing but Jesus, so whatever you talking about, partner, let's get it cracking, man. You ain't got to wait till tomorrow for what you can do today.
I don't care nothing about your martial arts, man. I don't care nothing about no Bruce Lee. I don't care nothing about none of that.
I don't give a damn about no martial arts either. We gonna go to the hood with this.
We gonna take it to the then. Wherever we gotta take it. But you ain't finna be running up on my wife, man, about your damn bodybuilding.
Man, I done told you for the last time that I don't know who your wife is. I deal with women all day long. This a gym. I don't walk around here with my shirt off. I got on a damn t-shirt.
So why is my wife telling me you the one running up on her, flexing you with all your muscles and all this, man? Why, Mr. Muscle Marvin?
Because I flex when I finish lifting. If you would know what a muscle really look or feel like, you would understand the process of that. But obviously, since I don't never see your little 22-pound up here, we don't know that area.
Don't you tell me about muscles. I got muscles too, Muscle Marvin. Now, I might not be in the gym flexing them every day, but I got muscles too.
You got muscles?
You don't know what you're dealing with, boy. I'm benching 185. You hear me?
You benching 185?
I'm benching 185. I got muscles too, Mr. Muscle Marvin. You gonna quit disrespecting me when I'm not at the gym? Run up on my wife, man. You hear me?
I disrespect people who disrespect me. You call me with this, man. I told you in the very beginning, I didn't know who your wife was. Now you started trying to make me know somebody I don't know, bro. I don't have time for this.
I'm gonna whoop your slow talking if you run up on my wife again.
I'm gonna get on phone with your ignorant, because it's obvious you a coward. You ain't no man, because you just took the offer when I told you to bring your little up here, and we could have figured this here out in person. You want to talk fly over the phone, get up off your and come down here to, and we can take care of this right now. You ain't got to make no threats over the phone, bro. Bring your little up here to where I'm at. You ignorant. I don't feel like that. I got too much other to do. Get off the phone.
Hey, man, I got something else I need to say to you. Would you listen to me?
Bruh, don't do yourself like that. It's going to be a misunderstanding, and you ain't prepared to handle it.
I got one more thing I need to say to you. Is you listening?
I'm, hell yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening for you to say you got your 185-pound on your way down here to so we can take care of this here.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your homeboy.
You said what?
Hello?
Man, what did you say?
Muscle Marvin.
Oh,
Muscle
man.
Marvin, you all right, man?
Oh, man, you good. You good, homie. You good.
Muscle Marvin, I got you.
Man, I'm going to slap out there on one of these 45-pound dumbbells when I see this. Man, man, y'all tripping, man.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good.
Hey, I got one more thing I got to ask you, man. What is the baddest, I'm talking about the baddest radio show in the land?
Man, the Steve Harvey Morning Show, man.
Woo!
Man, this boy.
Yeah.
He's got one of these days.
You got several doses of ignorant on this show.
Yeah. Well, if you're a football fan, the countdown to football season is here, guys. I know all of you love football.
It is time for me to build my hate up.
The first preseason game of the season between the Cowboys.
That's the one.
Why does everybody either love or hate the Cowboys?
Can't stand them. Yeah. Well,
and you hate them too, Steve, right? Or as a child,
mine
you
goes back. I don't hate them anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as I was saying, the first preseason game of the season between the Cowboys and the Cardinals
don't mean nothing.
Was last night.
Yeah.
But there's some bad news here. Wing prices are on the rise. Now, this is where we need your attention.
They're charging more.
Yeah. Chicken wings are going up.
You're going to lose a lot of black people.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you have options.
You know how we love
now wings going up.
Preseason game more than nothing.
You know how we love our wings while watching the games.
What?
people are eating less red meat, so this means they're eating more poultry.
Wing, right.
More wings, to be exact.
That's pronounced wangs. Black people pronounce them chicken wangs.
Not Shirley.
No. I'm black, Jay.
Chicken wangs.
That's debatable. No,
Jay.
Debatable.
Not Shirley, with her bougie behind.
You know my hair goes back.
I didn't even know what she was talking about. She said chicken wings.
Whatever.
It's wings, guys. No, it's not. Not if you do them right. They wings.
They wings good as hell.
All right, anyway, strawberry letter coming up next.
Who made these wings?
Oh.
Who made these wings?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Strawberry Letter is up next. You don't want to miss that, of course. But first, President Trump insists that he never referred to the White House as a real dump. You guys heard about this. And has nothing but love for the executive mansion. This is in an article that will appear in the new issue of Sports Illustrated. Members of the Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey, say the president told them that he had been spending a lot of time there because that White House is a real dump. But President Trump insists the article is what he always says, fake news. He tweeted last night, "I love the White House, one of the most beautiful buildings, homes I've ever seen. But fake news said I called it a dump. Totally untrue."
Okay.
Now, Steve, well, what did you say?
Let me say
go ahead.
I've been to the White House.
I have too. Yeah.
It is not the nicest.
No, it is not.
Because it's what, old?
It's just old.
300 years ago. Yeah.
I don't like the pictures.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're scary.
I don't like the pictures. Yeah, all the dead. Everybody up there dead.
Is it really?
Yeah, they dead. And I can't name all of them.
You don't know who you be looking at?
No, that's President Coolidge.
In the eyes follow you.
Man, seriously, it's historical, but I've been there enough times. To just tell you, I'll stay in my crib any day.
Okay. Well, yeah. Honestly, you did say that during the campaign, Jay.
Yeah.
Steve said that Donald Trump probably wouldn't spend a lot of time there.
Because
he's used to baller cribs, you know?
It's scary.
Now, regretfully, I say this regretfully.
Okay. You sure you don't want to form it in a question?
No, this can't be a question.
Oh, okay.
Regretfully, I know what Donald Trump place look like.
Oh, okay.
Because I was up in there.
I see. I understand
it,
regretfully
is it
now.
Is it as nice as the
boy,
one?
Boy, let me tell you something.
Out of control.
He got it. It's on and cracking.
Uh-huh.
It's decorating is what they do.
Okay.
Okay.
No, listen to me.
Yeah, because they're so rich. They can.
They know how to live now. They got it. Uh-huh. They got it.
Okay. So it's a real. The White House is a real step down.
But you wouldn't use the word dump, though.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not a dump by any stretch of the imagination.
But it is a step down from how he's been, what he's used to.
You better please understand it is. And Melania, I can promise you, his wife, she went up there and went back and said, "I'm going to stay here for a while.
I'm not staying here, Donald."
Yeah. She moved
my what?
But you know
bunks.
Something, man? Can I tell you something? I don't say anything disparaging about his wife because I think she's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I met his daughter. I think his daughter is a really, really sweet woman. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't mess with nobody's family.
And that's good because a lot of people tore up the first lady when Michelle was in office. Michelle Obama.
Well, but let me tell you something. And they're saying a lot of stuff about Donald Trump's wife too. I just think that the wife and kids should be off limits.
I agree.
My belief.
I agree.
You should leave them alone. When they attacked Michelle Obama, it was totally uncalled for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you attacked one of the most graceful, beautiful, but
show
enough smart women ever stood foot in that White House. You better know that.
Oh, yes.
That woman right there was more than qualified.
Mm-hmm. To be
and
in there.
Her attacks, you know, when them hillbillies attacked her in West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like an ape in heels to me. Well, yo, fat ass is out of work.
Mm-hmm. Fired him the next day.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that letter.
Sorry about that. Excuse me. Is her fat ass out of work?
Form it into a question. Go ahead, Junior.
All right, buckle up, hold on tight, strawberry letter.
Subject, unsatisfied in the bedroom. Hello, I'm a Midwesterner, now currently residing in Memphis, Tennessee. Since living here, I have begun dating this guy. He's a little older, charming, smart, college educated, good job, no kids, no failed or current marriages, and has been there for me when I've needed him. With all these good qualities, he has one really bad one that is important to me. He's horrible in bed. Ooh. All caps. Horrible. I don't think anyone can get the true gist of what I mean when I say he's horrible. He is challenged down there, and more often than not, has reached his destination before I even knew we were in the car. He also enjoys what I do for him, but does not reciprocate, although I have expressed that I'm a huge fan of it as well. It's just bad all the way around. We have had open and serious discussions about this issue, and I don't know if he's embarrassed or what, but this horrible bedroom performance and my displeasure seems to be some sort of sick joke to him, at which I don't find funny in the least bit. So I'm writing you to ask what should I do, because I really like the man, but oh my goodness, his sex is the worst. Please give advice, quick, fast. Thank you. Horrible. Wow. I really am at a loss as to what to tell you. I don't know. You know, you've tried working with him. You've tried open and serious discussions about it. Still nothing. You know, you say he doesn't take it serious. My question is, why are you still doing it? Why are you still there with him? You know, if it's that bad, if his good, his charm and all that doesn't outweigh the bad. You know, I mean, they have all kinds of enhancement products, Steve. But if he's not interested, you know, maybe it's a medical issue or something. I don't know, Steve.
Come on, Shirley. Just let me go ahead. Unsatisfied in the bedroom. Listen to this right here. He's a little older, charming, smart, college educated. Good job. No kids. No failed or current marriages. Then later on it says, with all these good qualities, he has one really bad one that's important. He's horrible in bed. I don't think you get the truth just to what I mean when I say he's horrible. Well, guess what, lady? That explains the first half of your letter. He's horrible in bed. That explains the no kids, the no failed or current marriages. Ain't nobody having kids because he ain't there long enough to make kids. Ain't nobody marrying him because ain't nobody signing up for a lifetime of this misery. He has no current or failed marriages because who you know the hell going to say I do to this here mess? Every day? That's why he's older. No kids, no marriages, no nothing. See, and then you says he has no kids, and then you go on to say he's horrible. He's challenged down there. He's challenged down there. Once again, that explains no kids, no failed or current marriages. But then you say, and he has been there for me when I needed him. Lady, that's because don't nobody else want him. He has time to be there. He'll be there for you forever. Because he's not in popular demand. He's sitting at the house right now waiting on you to come home.
He's not a player, Steve.
How you going to be a player? Player is a person who repetitively does something with persons of the opposite sex. He ain't never been back twice, except with you. Because you the only one dumb enough to understand that you don't get it. He ain't finna get good in the bed right here, you know? And then you want to know that he always enjoys what I do for him that does not reciprocate it, although I've expressed that I'm a huge fan. Well, hell, start doing to him what he doing to you.
We'll be back.
Nothing.
Part two.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at 41 after the hour, Nick Cannon is going to be our special guest. We'll see what's going on with him. But right now, come on, Steve, finish your part two of your response to today's Strawberry Letter. Let's
do it. There's nothing you can do for a man that's doing this. So here's the part. Now, she's been having serious discussions with this guy about his bedroom thing and such a displeasure that it seems to be some sick joke to him at which I don't find funny in the least bit. So I'm writing you to ask, what should I do? Because I really like the man, but oh my goodness, his sex is the worst. Well then, you know, since he liked telling jokes, you've wrote the right person. I think you should develop some nicknames for him. And start calling him nicknames since he won't think it's all funny. And then that might get his attention. Like, for example, you could like call him like Rash.
Rash? What does that mean, Steve?
Then when he asks you, just say because you feel like a little itch.
What?
Or you call him Blinky.
Blinky? I don't, what?
What does that mean?
So as soon as you bat your eyes, it's over. You can call him Pebbles.
Pebbles, huh?
Them is just little rocks. How about Mighty Mouse?
Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, he's mighty because he take care of bills in the house.
Uh-huh.
But when he make love, it's like making love to a little hamster.
Stupid Steve.
I'm just throwing stuff. How about Flicker?
Flicker? What?
Yeah. Because when you loving him, he go in and he out.
Oh,
he
wow,
go
like
in and he out like just a flicker.
Uh-huh.
How about call him T.I.?
Why that?
That's it?
What?
No, T.I. Yeah,
that's it. Call him Snapshot.
What does that mean, Steve? Snapshot.
Because as soon as you press his button, it's over.
God.
I got one for you.
I got one. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Call him Kanye so he can apologize.
I got one more. I like that. Here go one. Call him Kindergartner.
Why?
Because he make love like he five.
What?
Hurt him like he hurting you.
Yeah, seems like she's going to stay, huh?
How about Cheetah? You could call him Cheetah.
What? Cheetah? Cheetah?
What does that mean?
Because that's what he do to you every night. He Cheetah.
All right, Steve, we have to go. You know we have to go. We're running out of time. Email or Instagram us your thoughts.
Thank you.
On today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. Okay, switching gears. Well, bought Jay this really nice souvenir in Paris. Yeah.
Don't show it to him yet.
Don't show it to Jay
it's
yet.
Hand it to me. Right. Shut up, Jay. Jay, don't say nothing. Be quiet. Be quiet.
You want to
describe?
Oh, he's
going to love that.
Yeah.
Jay, give that to him. Hey, here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jay bought you that from Paris.
Oh, my God.
Oh, your hand out.
This is so nice.
Hold it.
Oh, my God. Yes.
It's so
I can't see it, Jay. Let me
I'll
see.
I'll tell you what it is. It's look, it's half of a white woman's butt with in a bikini that says Paris.
It's a refrigerator magnet.
It's a bottle opener.
That's what I thought
no,
it was.
I'm not going to use this to open bottles at all.
What are you doing?
I'm going to use this. Yeah. This is so nice. This is what I always wanted. But, I mean, I wish like I had the other part, the top part.
I told you to get the top two,
white
Carla.
Woman bottom is nice.
It's
nothing wrong with this.
A bottle opener.
No, yeah. I'm not using it for that, Steve. No, you thinking out the box. Think out the box. I got the box. This is so
you
nice.
Show you with it.
Ooh.
Show me.
Ooh, I'm rubbing it now.
Jay!
Are you rubbing the white lady's behind?
Yeah.
What is Jay's name?
Made out of ceramic. It's heavy.
Yeah,
Jay using it as a fidget spinner. What he doing?
That's it. That's yeah, because he is looking
spin.
Nervous.
Thank you so
spin
much.
They spin in.
This shows you guys care. That's what this shows.
This shows ignorance.
Yeah. They done
so
bought
much.
You half
this
a white
shows
woman.
Is.
If you'd have brought me back a lighter back, I'd have beat the hell out of both of y'all, man. This is what I want. Thank you.
Ooh,
yeah. Love it.
I know he'd like it, yeah.
And
yeah.
The words of Bruno Mars, that's what I like. That's what I like.
And I love how he feels perfectly comfortable saying that.
I have married
in this
three
room.
Black women, and now they got a little money. They did all right.
Now
I'm gonna go white.
Oh.
I can't believe this, man. He is so serious.
Look at Steve over there.
Man, Steve
loves black women. He does.
Well, yes. I do too. Mm-hmm. Is my voice? Did I go high?
Yes. Very.
I love black women too. I really do.
Uh-huh.
Married a couple. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Couple. Three to be exact.
Hey, who's counting? Oh, now we're counting?
Boy,
but
we
Jay,
were...
are you going to do it again? You ever think you can make it?
Excuse me.
Well, you got serious.
I know. First of all, why would you insult me like that? I mean, why the insults?
What you
why
say?
And
what
if you
say
do,
for the first
it
time, I'm happy.
Oh my God, I'm so happy.
Well, what is it about marriage that you don't like? I think I was clear.
Oh, I think it's that part where you say I do. That part right there where you go,
I don't like it.
You just like being on your own,
yes,
being your own boss,
yes,
not having to answer to anyone, check in,
yes,
all of that, yeah.
And what do you like
that
about white women?
That kept me single for a while.
Huh? What do you like about white women? About white women.
Say that again.
What?
Oh, it's going to go good. I can answer that question.
What
I've been asked this
do
question
you like
before.
About white women?
Oh, Lord.
There it is. You said it right there. White. That's it.
Just what? Man. Just white?
I hate him.
What you said?
White.
I hate him.
I ain't part of this.
I hate him with a passion.
I'm not part of nothing him and Tommy doing right now.
Yeah, so
I just asked a question, dog.
I answered his question.
Tommy can't even say it.
What do you like about white women? What's not to like?
But do you like them over black women?
Under, I don't care.
Oh, happy birthday to
happy
me.
Happy birthday to you. Thank you, guys.
All right, switching gears. Nick Cannon will be our special guest at 41 after the hour. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, earlier this week, you know, Nick Cannon called in to talk to us about his brand new movie. It's called King of the Dance Hall. Nephew Tommy and all of us here at the Morning Crew had a chance to talk to Nick about the movie King of the Dance Hall, showing now on YouTube Red. Here we go.
All right, coming up, our special guest is a comedian, television host, actor, and producer. Yeah. His hugely successful show is Wildin' Out. We all about know about Wildin' Out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know.
Wildin' Out.
Right.
Wildin',
you got to have Wildin'. Some tough skin for Wildin' Out.
That's where I get all my jokes from.
And you have to be very talented to be on that show. Very quick.
That's my show.
You gotta be.
Yeah.
Wildin'.
In addition to that, he's got a new movie that he wrote, produced, and he's starring in.
Okay.
It's the King of the Dance Hall. King of the Dance Hall. He's joining us this morning to tell us all about it. Put your hands together. The one, the only, Mr. Nick Cannon.
Nick! Good morning, Nick!
What's up, Nick?
We watched him grow up on TV, man.
Yes, we
really did.
Movies,
yes.
All that.
Everything.
Yeah.
Drumline.
What's happening, Nick?
What's going on, family? How y'all doing?
Hey, Nick.
We good, man. Tell us about it, man. King of the Dance Hall can be seen on YouTube Red, and it captures. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's dropping at the perfect time because, you know, we just had Emancipation Day in Jamaica, and it's actually this weekend is the independence of Jamaica. So, like, really, I made this film because I wanted to share the culture of Kingston and dance hall and how it originated, because we see so many influences from Beyonce to Rihanna dancing in their videos to Drake and Justin Bieber borrowing from the culture to make their music, but we never really heard the story in a mainstream way. And, you know, if you love Dirty Dancing and Saturday Night Fever and all of those dance films, I felt like it was ample opportunity to display a similar love story through the dance culture of Jamaica.
I like that. Yeah.
They got bodies.
Go
yes. Yeah.
What journey? Yeah.
I'm ready to go down there.
So is the whole thing shot? The whole thing shot in Jamaica?
Yeah, we shot the entire thing in Kingston. I mean, my character is actually from Brooklyn, so the movie opens up in Brooklyn. But then from there, you know, we take that plane ride, and for the rest of the film, we in Kingston, Jamaica.
Sexy. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Right. Yeah. It's good. It's a great cast, too. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg plays my mother. Lou Gossett Jr. is,
wow. Star-studded.
And that's, yeah. But Busta Rhymes is in the film. And
Busta.
Everybody in the dance. Yeah. Dance all culture from Beanie Man to Kamani Marley to all of these people are in the film. So it's actually a very powerful film with a great cast.
Hey, Nick, this one person I was asking, I didn't hear you say was in the movie. Have y'all found Shabba?
Has anybody seen Shabba?
What have you done with Shabba?
Shabba Ranks didn't make the movie.
That's hilarious.
I just want to know, did y'all find Shabba? We've been looking for him.
No, yo, I'm going to be honest with you. We actually did reach out to Shabba, and Shabba got so much money. Shabba good. He's sitting pretty.
Okay, we ain't gonna hear from him then.
Okay.
Shabba made his money. He chilling.
It's just ugly as he want to be, just sitting over there, just rich. Just ain't even think about being cute. He ain't trying to get no makeover, nothing. Just sit your ugly ass over there with all this money just,
and be rich.
Shabba!
That's hilarious.
But you know what I love about you, Nick? There's so many layers to you. I
reinvent yourself every time.
Yeah, on and on and on with your talent. You keep revealing.
Stand up. The boy got it going.
Everything. Thank you. Know, that's what we love about you. And as we mentioned earlier, we've watched you grow on TV into the man you are today. And we can't do anything but respect that and respect your talent.
Thank you so much. And I mean, you know, I learned from, you know, mentors like Steve and others.
Yeah.
I've just watched to be able to display myself as an artist on many different forms, whether it's film, television, the stage, music, all of that stuff. So I've been blessed enough to, you know, wake up and be creative each day. So I take it as a gift from God. So, you know, however I can display it, that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. And what's up with the turbans, Nick?
Yeah.
My crown, my sovereignty, that's what to speak on spirituality for a second. I mean, a lot of people thought it was mainly a fashion statement, but mm-hmm. it was definitely me doing a lot of spiritual understanding in the world of Sikhism and my Moorish background and mentality of just understanding who we are as a native people. And just we come from kings, you know, and a lot of times I feel like you have to change and shift that narrative because we glorify so many things in our community and we want to point blame. But until we understand who we truly are as people, there we won't have growth. So I feel like if I could be a representation of something different, something unique, and if it stands firm and people ask the question about my turban or my spiritual beliefs, I have the opportunity to share that.
Nick, I like the turban. I just don't know where to get them at. They ain't at Macy's. I don't know where you buy them.
I'm going to start a little turban line. We're going to be wild.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You put me on Wild and Out, I'll put one on. Hey, it'll be two turbans on there.
King of the Dance Hall. When does it drop, Nick?
It's out now. You can catch it on YouTube Red. It's available for everybody all around the world, Google Play, all of that stuff. So, you know, that's the reason why I released it this way, so everybody can have access to it.
All right. We can't wait to see it.
We can't wait to see it, man. Thanks for calling, brother.
No doubt. Thanks for having me.
Much love.
Wildin'.
I want to be on the black team.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. There's a new app called Calm. C-A-L-M.
What?
Calm.
Oh, okay.
A brand new app. It's a bedtime story reader to help adults go to sleep. So if you have problems going to sleep at night, I don't know if any of us on this show has that issue because we have to get up so early. But anyway, it's an app that features bedtime stories written just for adults.
You need to hear this.
Grown people. The tales are meant to help us transition from our hectic daily lives to the relaxing night. Instead of stimulating our brains like TV and scrolling through social media do, Calm is here to power down your mind.
Oh.
The stories are like mini audiobooks with soothing voices to lull you to dreamland. Oh, I should work on this.
No, like stories like, once upon a time, there was a famous R&B singer who got trapped in a room with a transvestite that he didn't pay. The transvestite was very upset. He had to leave and not pay the transvestite. The transvestite had his shoes. End of story. That's a good ass story.
Hanging on the end of that story like I was when R. Kelly was doing them trapped in the closet.
Yes.
I couldn't wait on Virgin 9.
Yes.
Boy, I thought that was the greatest series I've ever seen.
Unbelievable, man.
Came up out the closet.
Oh, no. Man. The cop is, oh, my
it,
God.
Yeah. Dog, it was absolute brilliant.
It was. You were trying to figure out what was going to happen next.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Who was going to come out of the closet? What was going on in the closet?
Brilliant.
All of that. Yeah.
Hey,
would
this be a good app for Little Tommy Stories?
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm just asking, would it be a good app?
Junior, that is the most brilliant thing you've ever said on this show to date.
You lay down in the bed 9:30. Hello, boys and girls.
That'd be perfect.
Hi, boys and girls.
Hi, boys and girls.
Steve.
I think it's time for another Lil Tommy story.
Yay. Put me to sleep. Put me to sleep.
You know what?
What?
I think we should try one right now.
Let's do it, Uncle Steve. Go for it.
Well, boys and girls, here it is.
Okay.
Once upon a time.
Yes.
There was a boy named, you know who?
Little Tommy.
Yes. And he became a big Little Tommy. He got a job on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Yay, Tommy.
Uncle put him to work.
Everything was going good.
Yes, it was.
He was making money hand over fist.
Enough to buy him a chateau.
He bought houses with gates and cars on Instagram and Maseratis
and Rolls Royces.
Yes. Yeah.
He bought everything. Little Tommy was balling.
Did he have a stylist to help him pick out his clothes, Uncle Steve?
One suit.
Like most rich people?
Uh-uh. His stylist only picked out one suit.
Oh, I bet it was good.
So he thought. So anyway.
Yes.
Tommy was just balling and balling and balling. And then he brought all his balling to his uncle's attention.
And then what happened, Uncle Steve?
Well, his uncle happened to be really balling.
Balling.
He was balling more than Tommy?
Way more than Tommy. To the point where Tommy's balling was actually marbling. His ball had turned into a marble.
Oh, no, not a marble.
Just a little black marble with an orange cat eye in
it. So his uncle showed him what balling really was.
Sure did. And the more he realized how hard his uncle was balling,
yes,
the less he thought of himself. So one day on the radio,
yes,
they were having a conversation.
Okay.
Okay.
What was that about?
Oh, it was about a very simple thing.
What?
His uncle one day was trying to find someone to stretch him.
Oh, because he's working out again,
working
right?
Out.
Yes.
So he asked a girl on the show with the crazy voice, Mississippi Monica.
Yes.
Can you please tell me a way that people could send in suggestions for a great stretcher in L.A.?
You mean the one that got bumped by the car?
Yeah. How did yes.
We call her the mouth of the South, Jay.
Now she's the mouth of the West.
She's a very attractive young lady.
Cute as a button.
Can't cross the street, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Because they can't see her.
Does she have big boobies?
Now, you must have the wrong one. That's her head.
I'm sorry. We distracted you, Uncle Steve.
So anyway, people was trying to figure out how they could help Uncle Steve find a stretcher.
Yes.
Yeah.
So right while I was waiting on Monica to tell me how they could call in, little nephew was not paying attention because he doesn't listen to hear. He listens for an opening where he can respond. So he just fired off. She already told you.
One more time.
What did he say?
So then he responded, she already told you. So you know Uncle being Uncle.
Balling uncle? You mean the balling?
The big balling uncle. Shut his fingers in the casket real hard. He slammed them down and caught his little raccoon hands in that casket and reminded him that the reason you're trying to get this information out of order is the same way you sell your monkey ass bait. And that right there, oh, Lord. Threw little Tommy into depression.
No.
He realized right there,
yes,
once again.
What?
That he had the disease called has.
Get it out, Uncle Steve.
He has that disease called has.
What is has?
Has stands for he ain't sugar honey. Once he realized.
Uncle Steve, there's no such disease called HADS.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
Did you just make that up?
Uh-uh. He realized again, he ain't sugar honey iced tea. And that was the end of the little Tommy story. And the reason we can tell it is because he ain't here today.
Because he's out sick?
He's outside.
We gotta go. We'll be back.
It can come out of nowhere.
I hate this show.
Oh, man.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Someone we all love. She's a friend to the show. We love her, especially you, Steve. The one and only, the legend, Miss Patti LaBelle. Miss Patti LaBelle.
Baby.
Story about her. She's letting everyone know that she is not a diva. A lot of people call her a diva because she's so talented, not because of anything negative, but just because of her career and you know, her singing ability and all of that, her talent. She explained, if I do daytime divas, which I did, and if I did Divas the Concert, of course, I'm going to be in it, but I'm not saying I'm a diva. So she's saying she's done
diva
daytime
stuff,
divas.
But she's not a diva.
Yeah, she's done, you know, Divas the Concert, but she's not a diva.
She's one of the nicest people. I mean, I worked with her several times. She is such a nice person.
I don't think that diva should be considered a negative connotation.
No.
Because you want what you want. Right?
Let me tell you something. Diana Ross.
Oh my God.
Is a diva.
The diva of all divas.
But one of the nicest people that you know.
Definitely.
Diana Ross.
She is a queen. Yes.
Is a real sweetheart of a human being.
I didn't know she was that cold, boy.
Yeah. Let me tell you, she's my favorite, hands down. Yeah. I mean,
Diana Ross is.
Shut Essence down.
She's the truth.
Because she's the real deal. Oh, you saw it. She did Essence.
He did Essence.
Oh, that's the talk.
Essence. I did not know that.
That was the talk of the entire Essence.
Yeah.
How Diana Ross came in and just wrecked it. Diana Ross.
She's such a nice lady. I mean, and I work with Miss Diana Ross, Patti LaBelle, and Aretha Franklin. They just want what they want. They're really nice people. I've never had any problem with it.
And they should get what they want.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
They paid their dues.
You paid the dues.
They put the work in.
They are the reason Whitney exists.
Today.
Mariah Curry exists.
Mm-hmm. Beyonce.
Janet Jackson. Mm-hmm. Beyonce. Alicia Keys.
Mary J.
Mary J.
All of them.
Erykah Badu.
Lettucey.
Jill Scott.
Yeah.
Lettucey.
All of them.
You can go down the list.
Tony Braxton. Mm-hmm.
Tony, you can go down the list of all of the, and we listed some great singers and performers.
Yes, we did.
All of them are because of Diana Ross, Patti LaBelle,
Aretha Franklin, baby. Gladys Knight.
Gladys
Knight.
Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Yeah.
Gladys Knight is one of the coolest people on planet Earth.
She's so nice.
Telling you, but they know how to do it. Anita Baker know how to do it.
Love Anita.
Yeah.
Them girls perform,
man. Yeah, you're right, Steve.
They
you're
not
right.
clowning. Chaka Khan come to work.
Hello.
Oh man.
That powerhouse of a voice she has.
Listen to me.
What?
But because of those women, the ones we listed exist.
Yeah.
But most of them women, they know that. Beyonce will give credit to them girls. All of them.
Angie Stone.
They
all
know.
Of them. Yes.
They know where they come
do.
From.
They do.
Yeah.
Them women right there was about it, man.
Yeah. Because if you're a true artist, Steve, you do study the greats.
And let me tell you something. All them women we named, they ass could blow.
Greatness. Mm-hmm. Greatness.
Flat out blow.
Madea knows how to blow. I just was trying to put some funny in there. That's all I had.
Yeah, well, 10 seconds. Yeah, it's nice. It's time to go to break.
Okay, yeah, let's just go ahead and go.
I had nothing else.
ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
I just thought I'd throw my dear out there.
You again, may I remind you, you hired him.
Do we go to Miss Ann now?
She's done her thing for today. Yeah, but we'll deal with you during the break, sir. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Now, this is according to Business Journal. This is a new survey that finds that a lot of employees would rather have more vacation rather than a pay raise. Really?
Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, if given the choice, 41% of people would actually rather have more paid vacation time than a pay raise.
Hell yeah.
While
yeah,
we're man. Always...
Who wouldn't take that?
Yeah, we're always hearing about U.S. employees not using up all their paid vacation each year. It seems like a lot of folks really do want more time off. In fact, a new survey finds that if given the choice, 41% of the people would actually rather have more paid vacation than a paid raise. I can't say that enough.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd rather have more vacation time or a pay raise?
More vacation time.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm kind of on the fence with this one because I don't take a lot of vacation, which is crazy.
If you give me sick days, I'm taking them.
Every last one of them. I don't take a lot of vacation. I really don't.
You have
I
to
never
tell
have.
Me I don't have no more damn
day. It ain't an option for me.
You have to tell me I'm out of sick days and vacation days.
Yeah,
because if you don't say nothing, I'm off.
Yeah, I guarantee you I'm taking my sick day. Yeah.
So I guess I would be, I'd get a pay raise. I guess I'd be that person.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, instead of vacation days. Because I rarely take the ones that I have. I'm supposed to be on vacation right now.
I love you a lot, but something is really, really wrong. wrong with you?
But it is. It is. What, and am I a workaholic?
Well, I think your bouginess.
won't allow you to be.
Yeah, I think your bouginess. I think your bouginess borderlines and tips off into stupidity.
Stupid.
No, I didn't say you were stupid.
He said tips off. I said you were bougie.
Yeah, and he said tips off.
If your bouginess is overrunning you,
yeah,
and it tips over into stupidity, because why your ass won't take your vacation? Supposed to be on vacation now,
right
but you
now.
Said,
she didn't take it.
You're supposed to be on vacation
I
now.
I put in for it, and I put in for it, and I'm here.
Can I have your days?
No.
Don't take my days, man.
Let me tell you something.
Okay,
if they told me, Steve, you can take off from now on all of your jobs, and we'll just send you the check.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't sign up for that?
My ass is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
My
doing that.
My ass is gone. I'm gone, 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 gone. Okay, let me ask you this question. Whatever your salary is, if somebody gave you 3 years of your salary and gave it to you at one time,
yeah.
Would you quit your job?
No.
Oh, hell no.
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 I got to be in here running the board. No. Pat, move over.
I got to have someone. I like coming to work.
Yeah,
I really like.
I like having a purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. Yeah. I like having a purpose.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you got to have something to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like it.
So let me ask you.
Your salary.
Yeah. Your salary for 3 years.
Oh, hell yeah.
Would you quit
if
all of your jobs?
If I got his salary, I'd take all
straight out of here.
Yeah, well, that's a little different.
Straight out of here and would not look back.
And would not. 3 years yourself.
And go home and tell Marjorie and she be all right with that decision.
Yes.
Baby, this is what we're going to do.
Well, you can live off of it, I'm sure, for the rest of your life.
Baby, let me tell you what we're going to do now. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. We're going to slow down. Mm-hmm. We're going to slow down. We're going to buy a couple things, and we're going to lock it down. Then I'm going to go back and get another show.
But right now.
We're going to slow it down.
We're going on another trip.
In the words of Bobby V, we're going to slow down.
All right. We'll be back right after this to close out the show with just one more thing. Or should I say thang?
Thang. Hey, now. Hey.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, we back. This is it, man. This is it. Shirley?
Well, just one more thing. Laz Alonso was our special guest earlier this week, the other day. And the movie Detroit, which Jay and I have both
God,
seen.
Oh, that movie is so good.
It's in theaters right now. It's so good. Please make it part of your weekend.
What you see
is what you get now, baby.
Yeah, it's part that and then part of the story about the beginning of the Dramatics, the singing group from Motown. So what we want you to do right now is we sing you out. Check out our interview with Laz.
Woo!
Good morning!
Welcome, welcome!
Yes, sir!
What's up, brother?
What's up? What's
up, Laz? What's up with you, boy?
Oh, man, I'm so happy to be here on your show. You know I love coming on here and sharing a little bit of love with y'all, man.
Man, we're glad to have you. Let me tell you something, Laz. The girls have seen Detroit.
Oh, it's so
okay.
Good.
I mean, Shirley saw Detroit already.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has to see this movie. Everyone in the world has to see this movie.
The trailers look outstanding.
It's so good. Now, Laz, you play Congressman John Conyers in the movie. The movie's good. I saw it here in L.A. It's so powerful. Let's talk about it.
Well, you know, the movie takes place in 1967, and I think that the most important part about this film is, you know, a lot of people call it the riot. You know, we've chosen to call it a rebellion because a rebellion is what happens when people who feel like they are not being seen and they are not being heard finally have enough and stand up and demand to be heard. And that's really what the political climate was back in 1967. Another thing is this is just one story of 300. There were over 300 of these that were going on all over the country in that decade alone, in the 60s alone.
Yeah.
You know, so knowing that as a backdrop kind of sets the tone for it. Just wasn't one incident where we have just happened to have police violence happen in Detroit and black people decided to burn the city down. No, this was happening over 300 times all over the country. You know, so knowing that when we go into this film, it kind of helps remind us of where we were back then. In a weird way, Shirley, it connects us to where we are now as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I was thinking when I saw the film. This happened 50 years ago, but it's still happening today with police brutality and how they handle it. And these police who maybe are brought up on these charges, but somehow miraculously they get off. Unscathed, you know, and that's the sad part. You're absolutely right. They also told a story about how the dramatics got started. And that's one of Steve's last.
He's about to tear up.
About to cry.
One of his favorite groups of all times.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It was a lot of cockle-doodle-dooing when the dramatics came up on stage.
Come on, boy.
Stop that, Lars.
Yeah, boy.
Man, I was listening to you, Steve, and I was like, man, y'all reminded me of when I caught my cockle-doodle-dooing. I done been there, too. I heard a couple of roosters in my hen house.
What? You, Laz, no one would ever think that about you because you're tall and fine and rich and sexy and all those things, right?
It's a farm. It's a farm. But, you know, what I think this movie does, it helps us be able to empathize with what's going on. You know, a lot of times right now, we see the cell phone camera footage. We see it played 5,000 times in the news. You know, we see a five-second clip, and then we see a mugshot and a criminal history. Mm-hmm. You know, and in this film, you actually get to see families. You know, you get to see loved ones. You get to see people that kiss you in the morning, you know, and wish you a safe return. Daughters, mothers, you know, family members. It helps you see the full story on both sides, actually. It's really interesting how she shot it. You know, Kathryn Bigelow usually does war films.
Yes, she does. She did.
And you Zero Dark 30, Hurt Locker, and you feel like you are in a war when you're watching this film. And it really was, you know.
That's really important, Laz, that you said that, because a lot of times you don't know how these things get started. You don't, and sometimes it's just so innocent, and people are just so tired of being treated a certain way, and it takes one person to do something, and then, you know, all hell breaks loose.
I'm actually right now at the African American Museum here in D.C. taking a tour with my family. So I'm over on the side doing this call. But the interesting thing was, in one of the displays, it shows how African Americans had to have, you know, like underground clubs and underground bars just to be able to have a business in an area that did not give black people loans.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's where our story begins. You know, you had a guy who came home from the Vietnam War at this place called the Blind Pig in Detroit, you know, a little underground bar. Police came and broke it up, and they just went overboard. And people had enough.
Yeah, that's what it was. It just took that one time they had enough, and it just went from there. Detroit, such a powerful, powerful, powerful movie. I encourage everyone to see it. Your role was important in the movie, Laz, of course. Young Algie Smith, you guys will remember him. He played Ralph Tresvant in the New Edition story. And he's the one that played the leader of the dramatics at the time. It was really such a great movie. Anthony Mackie's in it. But you guys have to see it. It's an important story. Just to look at what happened 50 years ago and now.
Hey, we're going to get out. Hey, Lars, listen, man, we appreciate you calling in. Get on back to your family, man. Enjoy the museum up there. I got to get up there. I done heard some great things about it, man.
Oh, yeah.
I've been up there. Hey, Lars, man, we love you, man. Thank you, brother.
I love you too, brother. You know I support you 100%.
All the time. Ladies and gentlemen, Lars Alonso.
Yes, sir.
Detroit, the movie.
Cock-a-doodle-doodle-doo.
That ain't what she did.
No.
No, I'll tell you what she did. That's what she did.
Let me find out that was you, Steve. That sounded kind of familiar.
That was it. That was all right, boy, we appreciate you.
All right, y'all.
Let's have a great weekend, everybody.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.